Hey, I'm so glad you're here today. Are you glad you're here? Man, I love the presence of God. I'm so glad that you're here, and thank you for saying amen. Let me just tell you, I'll tell you right now, I preach faster when you say amen. Yeah, like I said that in the first service and about halfway through, like I was in one of those serious kind of somber points and the guy in the back went, amen! You know, it's like, no, it really did happen. I'm glad that you're here today, and let me just say, there's so many awesome things taking place around Christ Church, and thank you for being a part of that. And today we're going to pick up off the message series that we started last week on how to get what you really want. I gave some questions out last week, and some of those questions, we asked you to go home and talk to your connection group, get in a connection group. If you're not regularly in a connection group, we ask you to jump into one and be a part of that. And find somebody that you could discuss the questions. And today I'm going to give you a couple more questions at the end of this because I think there's some real introspection and maybe some things, some soul searching some of us could do to get us better to what we want, what we really want. So I'm going to start today with the question I started with last week. Here it is. So what do you want? What do you want? The trickier question is, what do you really want? And here's the reason why it gets trickier is because there are a couple of things that kind of come to mind. They're kind of parallel to what we really want, and they're kind of mixed in with it. And here's some of the things I know we all want. Are you ready? And we talked about this last week. The first thing that I know we all want is that we want our way. Can somebody say amen? Like, we want our way. The second thing that we say that we want is that we want to do what we want to do. Like, that's what we want. We want to do what we want to do. Not what somebody else wants to do, or even what somebody else tells us to do. We want to do what we want to do. And here's the third one. We want to do what we want to do, and we want it now. We want what we want. We want to do what we want to do, and we want to do it right now. But however, here's the thing that we started to discuss last week, and this is important for us to know, that if we always get what we want, if we always get our way, eventually we'll lose our way. If we always get our way, if we always get what we want, eventually that will get in the way of what we really want. Because what we want and what we really want are sometimes two different things. And if we always do what we want to do, then eventually we won't end up where we want to end up. We'll end up someplace where we don't want to be. Last week I talked for a brief moment and I talked about how kids sometimes say, like, do I have to? Do I have to take out the trash? Do I have to make my bed? Do I have to do the dishes? And honestly, when you're a child, probably you have to do more stuff. But when you become an adult, you don't have to do anything. But they have places for people who don't want to do what they're supposed to do. You know, those are called prisons. That's for people that don't want to do what they're supposed to do. And so the point is, either if you choose what you want to do now, you may end up off mark later. You may end up somewhere where you never wanted to be. You may miss what God had for you in your future, and you may end up in a place where you wish you weren't. I used this illustration in one of the services last Sunday, and it had to do with a Snickers candy bar. Anybody have candy bar of choice? Snickers is my candy bar of choice. Somebody say it. Twix? They still make Twix? Twix are for kids. Yeah, that's a cereal, isn't it? Here we go. But here's the deal: is if you're hungry in the middle of the day, if you're hungry in the afternoon, and honestly, you know that like you don't have enough strength to make it to the end of the workday, and they'll have to call an ambulance and take you home because you don't have enough strength. So you go down to the vending machine or to the bottom left-hand drawer, whichever it might be for you, and you open up the drawer and you get out that Snickers bar, and because you're hungry and you need something now. Here's the dilemma with getting something now. It may satisfy your appetite right now. It may satisfy your hunger right now, but it won't nourish you for your future. It fixes something right now, but in fact, in the grand scheme of things, it may actually be a detriment to your future, and you'll end up somewhere where you don't want to be. So Many times the things that we want right now, or we choose to get right now, we insist on getting right now, they'll undermine what we really want for our future. In fact, that's what really defines regrets, is something that you, a decision you made, like you made a decision to be with a person or go a certain place, and then afterwards you like, man, I insisted on doing that then, I made that decision then, and now in hindsight, I regret that I had done that. That's what a definition of a regret is. And so last week we started to say, as we're looking at the things that we want, that lurking in the shadows of that conversation is something that we really have to begin to pursue. And that is, what do we value? What do you value? And I mean, this is an important thing as far as I'm concerned, determining what you value. Because when we get what we want, often it doesn't lead us to the place of what we really value. And what we really value, therein lies what we really want. In order for you to determine what you really want, you have to determine what you really value. So the question was last week, what do you value? Now, let me tell you what a value is. Let me define it for you. A value is not what the media tells us it is. Value is not what culture tells us. A value is what is really important and what is really important to you. I want this for my family. I want this. I want this on my own. I want to be this kind of a person. I want this kind of an occupation. I want this kind of a job. I want my spouse to be this kind of a person. I want them to look like this. I want them to behave in this kind of way. I want my husband, my wife. I want my children to act like this. I want my life to ultimately look like this. I want my parents not to know about this because they may not value that. But ultimately, these are the things that I value. So you have to ask yourself some questions. Like, I want to get married. So, okay, I want to get married. Why do you want to get married? What is it that you value in marriage? I want to get rich. Well, why do you want to get rich? What is it that you value? You have to determine not just the why and not just the now, but what is it behind that you value? Because lurking somewhere in your wants are your values. And you have to ask yourself this question, because lying in your values is, what kind of person do you want to be? Like, what kind of person do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be known as? What kind of relationships do you want to be known for? And ultimately, what kind of legacy do you want to leave in your life? And next week, I'm going to talk a lot about this. And legacy isn't just something about, like, when I die, this is, I'll leave a legacy. Because honestly, when I'm dead, I won't care. But it's not just, you don't just have a legacy when you're dead. For those of you who are students in high school, in college, when you leave, people are going to say something about you, and it's going to be your legacy. They're going to say good about you, they're going to say bad about you, or they're going to say nothing about you. If you're involved in an organization somewhere, when you leave, when you vacate, they're going to say something good, they're going to say something bad, or they're going to say nothing, and that's going to be your legacy. If you should ever leave this church, and you won't ever want to because you're going to love this church. But here's the deal is if you were to leave here, what people say after you're gone, good, bad, or nothing, it is the legacy of who you are. What people say about you, what you're known as when you leave is your legacy. So what do you want to leave? Like, and so last week we began to talk about that ultimately we want to be known. We want our lives to be known. We want our legacy to be of something that we value. No one wants to have a legacy that they only pursued the stuff they wanted. But instead, they pursued things of value. So what do you really value? And you can't ever really get what you really want if you don't know what you value. And let me just tell you, if you're not a church person, this is a good day for you to be here. I think every Sunday is a good day for you to be here. But if you're not a church person in general, this is a good Sunday for you to be here because you need to figure out your values whether you're a church person or not. Because it will lead you in the right direction. It will help you define your life better. It will help you to know who you are and what was really going to make you happy in your life. So you've got to figure out your values. Now, the good thing about us Christians, the good thing about being a church person is that we think that Jesus, he knows us best, and he is the best pathway to defining what our values are. He has a direction for our lives, and he has something that he wants to say to us, and ultimately, he points to a value system that leads you to the best life that you can have rather than just what you want on an immediate basis. So last week I asked some questions, and the questions that I asked, ultimately it leads us down to what do you value and what does Jesus value for your life? Because if we never get to what we know we value, then ultimately we'll never really understand what we really want. And Jesus, I think, is the best plan for that. And so here's one of the dilemmas that happens in all of this. And let me just talk about this for a second. There's a problem in all of this. Because figuring out my value system, are you ready? Figuring out what I really want is unnatural. It's just not natural. Because see, there's a part of me that I want what I want, and I want what I want right now. And there's this internal conflict that's taken place down inside of me. And we've all experienced that internal conflict. Like we know what we want, but we know what we want right now. There's a conflict between doing what we know we value. I value health, and I want that Snickers bar in the bottom left-hand drawer of the desk. You know, I say I value health, and then I'm hungry and don't want to go home and cook, so I pull through McDonald's drive-thru. And so, you know, what I've done is I've traded away my values for something that's very immediate. And here's the deal is, you know what's natural to me? Hunger. I mean, hunger is a natural thing. And it's unnatural for me to go, okay, I'll just wait to go home and steam some broccoli without butter or salt. You know, I mean, it's unnatural to do that. But the truth is it leads me, are you ready? It leads me to a better place in my life. So there's this internal conflict that's taken place down inside of you and down inside of me. And it's between this nature of who we are and what we know we really value. What I love about the Bible and what I love about Scripture is the Scripture addresses this stuff. And there's a man by the name of the Apostle Paul, and he was a Pharisee, and he knew good from bad. He was like the best at knowing good from bad. And he was a Christian hater. He was a religious man, and then one day he has an encounter with Jesus, and his life turns around. And all of a sudden, he is now moving in another direction, moving towards the best value of life. And he starts to write letters to churches. And he writes a letter to one group of people in Rome. And now think about this. He'd never met these people in Rome that we know of. And yet he writes them a letter, and he knows what's going on in their heart because he knows what the condition of every person's heart is. He knows what's common to every person's heart. So he writes these folks a letter. And I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Romans, the 7th chapter, and we're going to read out of this letter. And in this letter, he describes this conflict in terms that I think that we can all understand. In fact, let me just say, does anybody know what a life verse is? Like, I've heard people talk about, like, I have a life verse. And the life verse is, like, I've read down through scriptures, and, like, this is the one that sticks out to me, and it always seems to be applicable to my life. And so I have a life verse. And for some people, it's Jeremiah 29:11. And a lot of people have a different life verse. But here's the deal. If you don't have a life verse, this might be your life verse. Okay, because I promise you somewhere in here, you're going to see yourself. And so this might be your life. Okay, so here it is. Romans, the 7th chapter, 15th verse. I do not understand what I do. How about that for a life verse? I do not understand. You know, right on the wall where, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not harm you, and bring you to a good end. Plaque right next to it. I do not know why I do what I do. You know, it's just like over here on the other wall, John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and live it to the fullest. Right next to it, I do not know why I do what I do. I mean, seriously, that's the life verse for many of us. Everybody here in this room could tell a story about their life, about something that they did, some decision that they made, some place that they went, somebody they went with, and something that they did at some point, and then afterwards had this conversation. How dumb could you have been? You knew not to do that. You knew not to go there. You knew not to pull out that credit card. You knew not to buy that. You knew not to eat that. And yet you did. How dumb are you? I do not understand why you do what you do. Seriously, how many of that? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. I know you already had that conversation. Here we go. You know, this whole notion, something's wrong. You know, there is something wrong. You know what's wrong? There's a conflict inside of you between what you value, what you really value, what you know is like being, these are worthy life goals, what you value and your human nature. Here's what Paul says in the 15th verse again. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, what I really want to do, I don't do it. Like, I mean, you know, I know what I really want to do, but that's not what I did. I know what I really meant to do, but that's not what I did. I do not understand. Here it is again. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate is what I did. The thing I didn't want to do, what I hate to do, I know what I really wanted to do, and yet I did the thing that I hated. And if you were to be honest today in this room, there are people in this room today, you hate yourself. You hate yourself because of decisions that you've made. And interestingly, at first it started out that you hated the decision that you made. But then after you made the decision got so close to who you are that you hated yourself for making the decision. And that's what Paul says here. I hate this. And consequently, like, there's this self-loathing taking place. I understand where you are because I hate what I do. And in hating what I do, I end up hating myself. I'm half an inch away from that. And so there's this wrestling match on the inside, valuing what I know I'm supposed to value and my actual life actions. Verse number 16, let me read on. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Now, here's what he's saying. Is there something true about the law? He's saying, now, when it comes down to the law, like, he knew the law, and he's talking about Jewish law. And the Jewish law defined what was right and wrong. And he's like, I knew the Jewish law and I knew it better than anybody. And I kept it better than anybody. But here's what he goes on and says. He says it here and in other places. As good as I knew the law and as good as I could keep the law, I still couldn't perform it very well. I was better at it than anybody else, but still I fell so short on it. And then, as much as I tried to do good, I ended up not doing good. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And then I end up in this place that I hate what I did. And listen, whether you understand Jewish law or not, innate in every person, down inside of every person, is this thing that you innately know what's right or wrong. Like, you know what's right or wrong. So you don't even have to know scripture and you don't even have to know like the Bible or even Jewish law. We're talking about living everyday life, knowing what's right and wrong. And you're not sure why you commit what you do because you know what's right and wrong. And he said, man, I mean, it just condemns us. So I want to read on verse number 18. This is the second half of verse number 18. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I mean, does that describe it? Like, I want to do good. I have the desire to do what's good, but I'm failing at this thing. Verse number 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Like, what I didn't want to do is what I did. What I wanted to do was what I did not do. And he's saying, naturally, there's this conflict down inside of me between what I know I should do and what I can do and what will make my life have greater value and then what I naturally chose to do. Ultimately, we end up going many times with what we just wanted. And let me just tell you, that's why this is an unnatural thing. Because the nature of who you are, the nature of nature, are you ready? Think about this. I mean, we say nature is so beautiful. Nature is beautiful until you really watch one of those Discovery Channel videos. Seriously, in nature, really, there's no mercy. You get up close in nature, there's no mercy. It's dog, literally, dog eat dog. It's animal after animal. There's no grace in nature. There's no compassion in nature. When you look at nature, it's beautiful from a distance, but up close, it gets really ugly. And here's what he's saying. The nature of who we are, there's something wrong. There's something completely broken down inside of who we are. In fact, if I were to call out some words, there are some things that probably categories. I just put a few up here, and we're just going to take a look at these. Maybe life fits into some of these categories. Here's one of them. Are you ready? Cheating. Like, man, it's the shortcut of life. You know, but somebody always loses in cheating. Here we go. Here's the next one. Are you ready? Lying. To me, it's difficult to, for me, lying is a thing that it's really hard for me to deal with. And because, you just never know where you stand. Here's the next one. Are you ready? Hatred. And I went ahead and put racism beside that because hatred is, I mean, it's inconspicuous at times. There are some times when it sneaks in, and it sneaks in a lot of different arenas, and it shows its head in a lot of different places, but it's still hatred. Here's another one of these broken places. Are you ready? Adultery. Adultery is, it's going after what I want, and I shouldn't want that. And then here's the next one. Selfishness. It's me first. It's I want what I want. I want what I want first. I'm going to put me ahead of everybody else. And here's the last one. Are you ready? Revenge. Revenge. I mean, that's what nature looks like. That's what nature looks like. And in fact, Paul, in another writing to another church in Galatia, he writes these words. And I want you to read with me out of Romans, the 5th chapter. And listen to this. When you follow, I'm in verse number 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature. Okay, and I know that maybe the word sinful is a hang up for you. Just take it out. When you follow the desire of your nature, when you follow the desire of your human nature, here's the interesting thing about this is we believe, as Christians, we believe that our nature is just broken. It's the reason why, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with you. I mean, there's something broken on the inside because we know what's good. We know what we're supposed to pursue. We know what we value. We know really what leads us to a better place in life. And then every once in a while, we have to ask ourselves the question, why did you do that? You know, and here's the reason why we did it, because there's something broken on the inside of us. Verse number 19, when you follow the desires of your human nature, sinful nature, however you want to put that. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your broken natures, the results are very clear. Like, honestly, I didn't even need to read that scripture. I didn't need to, if I were just to say, okay, let's list some things out of broken nature, like broken human nature. Let's list some of the qualities. Let's list some of the actions. And honestly, you'd sit there and you go, oh yeah, I've done that one. Yep, did that one. Oh, no, I didn't do that one, but I think she did, you know. Oh, I didn't do that one. I know he did that one. No, you know, I mean, so it would be very obvious, and that's what he said. These are very obvious, and then he gives a list, like we didn't even need the list, but he goes ahead and lists it out anyway. Are you ready? Here's the second half of verse number 19, sexual immorality. I don't think that needs a definition. Like, we know what that looks like. Sexual immorality. This is the product of a broken nature. Impurity. Lustful pleasures. Idolatry. Idolatry, now, like most people, it's not a word we use very much. Idolatry is, I'm not a pagan. But here's what idolatry really is. It's putting things before people and putting stuff before God. Putting things before people and putting stuff before God. That's idolatry. And at some point, maybe we're all guilty of some of that. And then the next word, sorcery, that's definitely not a word like, whoo, you had me on the first couple of points, but now I know I don't do sorcery. Really? Here's the deal. Here's what sorcery is. It's using any measure, going to any extent to get what you wanted anyway. It's using any power, any influence, going to any extent to get your desired end. It's manipulation. It's insidious. It's so far down deep inside of some of us. Here we go. It goes on. How about this one? Hostility, quarreling, jealousy. No. You're talking about something really ugly. Jealousy is ugly. Like you're friends with somebody, like you're really friends with them. And like you're coming up through life and you're on the same level with them. And like you get married, they get married. They buy a car, you buy a car. And then like they get a house and you get a house. And then you're both up for promotions on your different jobs and you get the promotion and they didn't. You find out that maybe they got a pay cut instead. And it's like, you find out maybe that something didn't go very well for them. Their kid didn't get into the college that they wanted to get in, and yours didn't either, but theirs didn't either. So, yes, you know. They went through a weight loss program last year and lost 50 pounds, and now you haven't seen them for 6 months, and you're around them again, and they gained the weight back, and you're like, yes, you know. Seriously, it's an ugly thing down inside of us that we could be happy at somebody else's unhappiness. That when they're good, we're not. That when something good happens in their life, they're not, and that we would be okay with life going poorly for them so it would make us feel better about our life. Okay, listen some more on this list. Outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, got to have your way, dissension. Have you ever met anybody that they just always have to have like a buzz of negativity, like a buzz of some drama, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this? Listen, all of us, every person in this room, we're one or two bad decisions away from aborting a life of good value, moving in the right direction, and choosing these things for what we want now. All of us willing to derail our life. And I know some very good people, and you're very good people, and I think I'm very good people also, but these things come naturally to us. And this is a pretty big deal, and here's the reason why it's a pretty big deal, is because no matter how disciplined you are, it's not that you needed more information, and you don't need more discipline, because the problem with it is there's a battle that's going on inside of you. And the good news is that it is possible for you to win this battle, for you to get what you really want, but you're going to have to understand the things that derail you from the values that you're supposed to have. And I think the brother of Jesus, we started this series out last week with the brother of Jesus and the book of James. I want you to turn with me to the book of James one more time, and we're going to finish this out today. And if somebody wants to find Sean for me, the book of James, we're going to read in James, the first chapter. And he's talking about this stuff and how we end up in a place where we never thought we'd end up. Here's what he says in verse number 14. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their, dragged away. I want you to just practice this with me. Are you ready? Dragged away. You ready? Drag. Now, I'm going to read this. And when I get to those two words again, I want you to just say them out loud with me. Are you ready? But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and are enticed. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, paints a picture here of somebody that's doing the right stuff. Like, I'm doing good. I have a great family. I'm doing all the stuff I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to church. I'm paying my tithes. I'm eating right. I'm exercising. I'm being nice to people. And while I'm doing that, all of a sudden something happens and like gets a hook in me. I know what I'm supposed to be doing there, and it drags us away. It literally gets a hook in us and drags us away. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desire and enticed. Now, it's a battle. It's a struggle. And here he says that we can be dragged away. He dragged me away. She dragged me away. That thing dragged me away. The need for that dragged me away. The want for that dragged me away. The thing that I thought I got too busy to pray. I got too busy in my life. And all of a sudden, that thing raised its head. My habit raised its head. Bad decision raised its head. And then I got dragged away. And then listen to these next words. Then after desire has conceived. Listen to these words. After desire is conceived. Long before you do it in your brain. Long before you go down that road, you do it. Long before you relapsed in your brain. Long before you went after that temptation, you did it in your brain. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So there's the desire being planted, and then it gives birth to something, and it's sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I don't know why I do what I do. I don't know why I do what I do that I hate, and then I hate myself. Here he's saying, James is like 2,000 years ago. I don't know if he's at a table with a candle, and he's writing words that were applicable to him. And 2,000 years later, listen, are you ready? Human nature hasn't changed. It's like he reaches across time, and he reaches across his desk, and he grabs you and he grabs me by the collar, and he says, hey, listen, pay attention to this, because ultimately there's going to be something that's going to try to drag you away. And it's something that's already in you. There's something that's going to drag you away. And listen to verse number 16. Are you ready? Don't be deceived. My dear brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, he's talking to believers. Don't be deceived. It could happen to you. Student, don't be deceived. It's going to happen to you. There's going to be an opportunity on a Friday night. Guy at work, listen, man, there's going to be an opportunity for you to look in a wrong direction. And you could be dragged away. Men and women, you're struggling in your marriage. You could be dragged away. And here's what I'm going to say to every one of us. Don't trade now for what is ultimate. Don't trade that value. Don't trade that direction, that thing that you really dreamed to have, that thing that you wanted in your home, in your life, in your marriage. Don't trade that away for something that you could just do right now, because it's the Snickers bar of the moment. Don't trade away the valuable for the natural. So somebody asked me a while back, they said, why do you do what you do? Honestly, they were like, what do you get out of what you do? Like, what drives you? And will you put that list back up that we had up, those six things? I've watched people that I've loved. I'm talking people that I knew that they were on course for like a great life of value. Like God had a plan that he was working on in their life. And then I watched something get a hold of them and snag them and drag them. And then I've watched their life end up in a place where they never imagined that they would be. I've watched them end up someplace in a life that they wouldn't value. And yet somehow they ended up at that place. And so today, let me just tell you, the reason why I got up this morning and the reason why I get up every day and I pray and I ask the Lord to give me strength to do what I do is because I never want to see any other person get dragged away. I don't want one person in this room to ever be dragged away from what God really has for your life. And so today, if you're here today, let me just tell you, there are a lot of people think that like Jesus is the ultimate buzzkill and that Christianity is the biggest party pooper. Let me just tell you, it's just the opposite. Jesus, he didn't come just for you to have life. He came to make your life better. He came to make your life better, and he came to make you better at living. And so ultimately, you can have the life that he has for you. And I wish I could get to with every person and talk to them and like tell them God has a plan for you. So follow those values. I'm going to give you three questions and then I'm going to close out. And I know I'm a few minutes over here, but so thank you for being patient with me. Three questions. Three questions that I think will help you maybe get on course. Here's the first one. Are you ready? It's the same as last week. What do you really want? What do you really want? If you want to grab the insert out of the bulletin, I'm going to ask you, will you please write these down? Because I think that these are going to be something you should go home and think about. What do you really want? I really want a Ford F-150. Well, why do you really want that? Well, I want that so people think I'm wealthy. People think that I'm macho. I mean, why do you really want that? What do you really want? I want to get married. Okay, that's awesome. But what do you really want? What do you value out of marriage that you really want? Are you just looking for a wedding? Okay, what do you really want? Number two, what keeps dragging you away? What keeps dragging you away? You hear a sermon like this, or you read a book, and you're like, man, I'm going to get back on course. Like, I'm going to do the right stuff. I'm going to head in the right direction, and I'm going to make some changes. And then something comes along. What is it that keeps dragging you away? You need to figure that out. And let me just tell you, you need to spend some time and get alone with God and get alone with you. This is between you and you. Like, you don't need to talk to anybody about this. You need to talk to you about this. You have to figure out what is it that keeps dragging you away. And then here's the third question. How much longer will I let what I naturally want drag me away from what I ultimately want? How much longer? How much longer are you going to live in that condition? How much longer are you going to let what you naturally want, your broken, natural, human, sinful self, how much longer are you going to allow that portion of you to drag away from the life that you really want? I'm going to ask you, will you just spend some time and will you pray about this week? Don't be deceived, because there's something that's trying to drag you away, but we believe that Jesus can lead you to a life, man, a life worth living. I want to pray with you today. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before your throne, and Lord, I thank you for every person that's here, and I thank you for your word that's quick and powerful, and it gets right down into our heart. Lord, I'm asking you that we'll have the courage to ask ourselves these questions, that we'll have the courage to spend some time and find out what it is that's dragging us away from you and the life that you have for us. And Lord, will you allow this message and your word to be like a mirror so we can see who we really are and maybe find who you really want us to be. And so, Lord, I'm asking you that you'll lead each and every person to a new and a better place, a life of freedom. Dear Lord, where we win this battle daily, momentarily, but constantly, that we live in this life that you have for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe if you're here today, and man, you've never realized that like God really has a better life for you, and it's not one of condemnation, but it's actually a life of freedom for you, free from all of that stuff that takes you off course. If you've never surrendered to him and said yes to him, just follow him. Just say yes. Like, I'm going to follow the life that God has for me. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that today. And just in a prayer here, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to say, just repeat this prayer after me and say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to follow the life you have for me. I surrender today. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your son. And that he came to this earth to save me. I receive Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, come in. I'll follow the life that you have for me. And I'll live for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. if you prayed that prayer today, so I can help you in the days ahead and get you started on this journey, and so I can pray for you. If you prayed that prayer today and needed to pray that prayer and say, okay, I got to turn my life here and follow Jesus. If you prayed that prayer today and accepted him and received him, will you put your hand up so I can pray for you in the days ahead? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing, and I know we're a few minutes over, so if you need to go, I understand, but we're going to sing, and we have prayer partners that are in this service today, and maybe if you're in the middle of a struggle, or maybe if you're sick, or if you need prayer for something, our prayer partners are going to come down front here in the next few moments while we sing. We're going to invite you to come and get prayer and receive ministry if you need prayer today. So will you stand together as we begin to sing, and our prayer partners, will our prayer partners please come?